Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Well, well, well.
Hey, Dick, it has been a minute, hasn't it, since we've been on?
Oh, it has. Indeed, it has. Well, listen, you've been busy. I've been busy, but you've been good busy.
Yes. I've been back at my school, and I'll be there for another couple of years. I'm going for my master's in computer science AI at Mount Carson University, and then I'll be pursuing my PhD in 2 years from this September.
So I would say that's pretty good busy.
Yeah, it's good busy. It's a lot of work, a lot of stuff. Semester's coming to an end. I'm in a quick semester now, which is only 7 weeks, and I'm in another 7 weeks, and then I have a little bit of time. I'm going to go to Florida, come back for a couple of days, and then be back, and then I take class that Monday. So I leave on the 3rd at night. I come back on Monday morning. I have class on Monday afternoon, and I have 7 more weeks to get this thing done because it's a quick semester. Then I have about a week off, and then I'm in for 14 weeks.
Ooh, that's a lot. Well, it's been a few months. I mean, we haven't caught up, you know, in Double Impact. So for those of you who are just joining the show, so this is Double Impact with yours truly, John C. Morley, and me, myself, and I, Hurricane H.
And together we make 1, 2, 3, Double Impact.
Now, see, we didn't even rehearse that. That was good. I think we matched it. All right, well, so we are live on YouTube, Instagram, and also TikTok. For those of you who want to join us, you know, you can join us in any one of those, and let's interact. This is actually a very, I would say, call it casual discussion, so there's no real topic.
It's casual, but we don't stay too casual. I mean, we get into some interesting topics. We get casual, but we do get into everything. So.
Oh, yeah.
Never know
what
we're going to get into.
That's right.
Did you invite me, or am I inviting you? You invited me?
Well, let's see. There's some people that... trying to join the TikTok here, but I'm trying.
Oh, great.
Well, again, I need you to be on it. So let me see how to do this here.
At JCM Academy.
I know. I'm trying to get to you here. Give me 1 sec.
So while we're waiting, TikTok, Mr. Trump has given TikTok another 90 days.
All right.
I said I think he's just going to keep doing it. So I don't buy that he's going to actually end. I think he's just going to keep extending it forever because...
You're being invited, dude. Join.
Oh, I'm in. Okay. I don't see the invitation. Oh, there we accept. Got it.
All right.
And join in your connect using audio only. No, I want it with camera. Okay.
And so, hey, guys on Instagram. So those of you on Instagram, you guys can type in whatever you want. We can chat. And by the way, if you have a topic you want to discuss, I mean, we can talk all kind of business We can talk about our media. We can talk about, you know, I mean, John is live every day doing his own thing. So, hey, hola, Joseph. Is that Joseph? Jose, I'm sorry. Hey, Jose. So, yeah, are you in? I don't see you. There you are. There you are.
I'm there. How are you?
Okay. Well, now we got a whole bunch of people joining there. So, all right, what are we discussing today? What will bring to the table?
Something interesting that I want to talk about today. I think it's kind of interesting. So we've been talking a lot about AI, right? Being going to school for AI. But so AI is having a lot of things in the news, like, you know, databases and cracking and stuff like this. But I thought this is a very interesting topic to talk about today, is password hacking with AI.
Mm.
How long will it take to hack a typical password? Let's forget about AI for a minute, but I think this is very interesting. How long will it take to crack a typical password? So I thought I would just give you some information. A lot of you out there, you know, that want to go do the 4-character because you can't remember anything. Okay. So if you have a 4-character, a 5-character, a 6-character, 7-character, 8-character, okay, or 9-character password, and it's numbers only, well, sorry, we're gonna be able to hack that instantly. If you have lowercase only, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8, hackable instantly. If you have upper and lowercase letters, 4, 5, and 6 instantly, 7, 1 second, 28 seconds for 8 characters, 24 minutes for 9, and 21 hours for 10. But let's get into the real meat. I tell people you need to have a password that's at least a number, an uppercase letter, a lowercase letter, so a number, an upper and a lowercase letter, and a symbol. Now, if you do that and you have 12 of them and you have done exactly what I told you, your password will take 226 years to hack. But my recommendation, everyone, is to have at least a 14-character password. Why do you think I say that? Well, a 14-character password can get hacked in 52 seconds if it was numbers. Lowercase letters, 1 year. Upper and lower, 17 years. Number, upper and lower, 202,000 years. Okay? But if you do upper, lower letters and symbols, it's going to be 1 million years to hack that password. That's pretty cool, right? So if something's a million years, that means that we basically can really discourage somebody. But the big problem, HH, is that AI is going to hack this very, very quickly.
Hold on. So let's repeat that. I mean, it looks like the 99% of people will probably be hacked like in less than a minute. But now, what is the real deal here? Like, what was that? The million years so before they can get a hack?
I tell everybody to have at least 14 characters. Okay, that's letters. It has to be at least a letter, an upper number, a symbol, okay? And then that means that password will take, if you follow all those steps, 1 million years.
All right, so that's good. So we're not living 1 million years. So I think we're good there.
But, as long as we have 14. Here's the problem. The problem is AI is coming around, all right? And people are using it for bad things, right? So if you know that you can use AI, which they're already doing, to do some bad stuff, AI can eat that password for breakfast in probably just a few seconds to a minute. Something that takes that million years I was talking about, right? That 1 million years.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, if you decided to be really secure and have an 18-character password like that, it'd be 26 trillion years.
20 what characters? How many?
26 trillion if you have 18 characters, upper, lower, letter, and symbol. And it's very easy to do 18 characters. People say, oh, I can't remember. Just make a phrase. My dog went to the park and sat on a frog. Like, and you make it, you can make every letter an upper, like every first word you can make upper, and you can change some of the vowels to be numbers, and you can add a dollar sign at the beginning and the end, and now you've got yourself a really super password. But AI can eat that for breakfast. So even that one that's 18 characters or 26 trillion years, it can probably hack through that in about an hour. So what does that mean? Hmm. That means that if AI can hack this, we got a problem. And so how do we create a password system that's going to keep the system secure, but also keep AI from not, you know, hacking it too early? Well, the answer is we have to design a password algorithm that's backward compatible and that's going to work. It's going to be very hard for AI to hack. So let's say something that would take AI, hypothetically, let's just say it was 100 years or 50 years, okay? That same password on a legacy system could be trillions of years. If we said something was 26 trillion years for AI, let's say AI to hack, well, that could take over 100 trillion years on a regular computer. So the issue is that we're kind of to come up with a new password algorithm, okay, that cannot be exploited by AI. But it's also going to change a lot of things, right? Because people don't want to change their passwords. And, you know, when you think about banks, okay, and not to scare everybody, but how big is the average password on an ATM card? How many characters?
Four to six, maybe. I don't know. Eight max.
It's four characters, right? Letters, numbers, whatever. But it's the same key, right? It's not like they can tell the difference between. It's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, and then you got star and a pound, right? But they don't even let you do that. They only let you do 1 to 9, right? Or 1 to 9 and 0. So 10 keys. So if we know that, you can hack a bank password literally in seconds. The only reason people don't hack a bank password in seconds is because they have a failed lockout. If they try three times, what happens? The thing does one of two things. It locks the account, but it does something worse. You know what it does? It not only locks the account out, we keep trying, it actually takes the account. You know what it does? It actually eats your card. Well, keeps your card.
Well, hold on, John. So quickly, I know this is, some people may just be wondering. I mean, I've heard this, I've seen it before. Is it true if you actually put your password reverse, it kind of signals that there is a problem with, you know, with your safety or something? Is that something that actually, since we're talking about just password, you know, in the banking piece? We'll go back to the hacking because I think that's a big deal. I don't know. I mean, I've read it. I thought maybe you know a little bit more about
that. So I will tell you this. They call that an ambush. Okay. It's an urban myth about using a reverse PIN to stay safe. It's a myth.
All right, good. So that's it.
Okay. Now, let me just tell you something else. But I will tell you where that came from, being in security for a long time. So when I did, I think I was probably about, I think I was like 20, maybe not, no, I wasn't even 20. I think I was probably not even 14 years old. And I was doing a new security system for my parents' business. And that time, security systems, you couldn't like program them the way you do today. You have to program a chip and put in today. You can actually go in a programming mode and change it. Not back then. You had to have everything done. You had to send the chip to a lab. They had to program it. And then you had to get it back, stick it in. And that's how it worked, which was a real pain. And if you had to change it, well, you had to get a whole new chip. Now, chips weren't expensive, but the programming was, because nobody had these expensive EEPROM programmers. So, I remember putting in, to this day, it was called FBI. You guys probably know what FBI is. I don't mean the Federal Bureau of Investigation. FBI actually stands for Fire Burglary Instruments. And so FBI was a very, very big name many years ago. Now they're kind of bought out. And so, but they were like the leaders in their field. And so Federal Bureau of Investigation, obviously we know what that means, right? But, FBI, is basically the name for an alarm company that was, well, it's not really around anymore. Fire Burglary, Instruments, Incorporated was their name. Okay. Fire Burglary Instruments Incorporated. So nothing to do with FBI. So great panel, great system. And so when you put a panel in a commercial place, it didn't have the basic four characters, you know, four numbers to open it, arm and disarm it. It actually had a total of five characters, okay? So usually it would have five characters And the reason it would have five characterizations, I'll tell you why. The number, the first number, indicated what user number it was. Okay? So if it was 1, 2, 3, 4, and you could have the code longer, but you could have the code being like 1. So I mean, I'm user 1. Then I could have a 4-digit code. But to answer your question, HH, the reason you're thinking about that reverse code, they call that silent ambush. Have you ever heard of that before?
No, first time.
Okay, so silent ambush is actually legitimate. If you have programmed silent ambush, if you're the installer or if the alarm company set up for you, now I set up silent ambush in the business for them, which meant that if you put the number in backwards, okay, it would turn the alarm on or off, and it would send a silent distress signal to the alarm company, which would then notify the police department without notifying or calling you. So, true story. It was, I think it was right after summer. And I was basically coming in, and there was somebody, a bad actor, and he said to me, you know, give me all your money. So I'm opening the door. He comes up to me. He says, don't give me all your money. Don't give me, don't try any funny business. And I said, look, I said, sir, I said, look, I'll give it to you. I said, but I have to turn off the alarm. If I don't turn off the alarm, there'll be a swarm of police here like within 5 seconds. I said, so I don't want to cause any problems. I just want to turn the alarm off. You'll see the alarm will go off. Everything's going to be fine. But I have to disarm the alarm or all kinds of sirens. And there'll be police here really quickly, like within 20 seconds. So all right, but no funny business. Okay, no funny business. So I put the code in I normally put in. I put it in reverse order. He doesn't know what my code is, right? I put it in reverse order. The panel says, okay, right? Ready. So to the bad guy, it seems like I disarmed the alarm, didn't I? I turned off the alarm. It says ready, and the alarm is off. But because I used ambush, it actually sent a silent distress signal off to the police department. Now, what happened was by the time I got out of there and, you know, I just put my stuff down, I was about to give it to him. I said, I have to at least open the registers. I've got to do this stuff. If I don't do these things, you know, people are going to know something's up. Then the next thing, the presser walked in, a few other people walked in. I said, I have to just do this. He's hiding like right there by the clothes. Don't fight. I said, no, I said, I just have to sit up. I said, you see these people walk in. If I don't do what I normally do, they're going to know something's up. Okay. So he's watching me. And so I put the money in the register, do everything I'm going to do. And, you know, I have to open the door, obviously, because you have to open the door for customers to come in. Customers are coming in. I said, I have to take care of the customers, right? So I'm taking care of the customers. And he's like, give me all the money. So, okay, so I'm kind of stalling a little bit. And I take the money out. I'm just getting ready. I'm just grabbing the stuff. And another customer came in, okay? So I'm about to give him the money. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I hear hands up. And the cops had came in from behind. And they arrested him.
So
now it took literally 2.5 minutes for that cop car to come from the police station across the street into our lot. They even knew which panel that I was distressed at, so they knew which way to come in the store. Pretty smart. So you can have ambush at your house. If you have an alarm system, you can ask your installer to put an ambush for you, but they have to set up ambush. So ambush is just your code reverse.
Well, so John, does that mean that this is something that currently banks have in place, and that's probably what
they do? They do.
Ambush is not really admit. It is a practical.
It's not on the ATM. It's on the alarm.
Got it.
Okay. If I go put my code in reverse on the ATM, it's not going to mean squat.
All right. So for those of you. Yes. But for those that are watching, you know, because I know this, I've seen a lot of TikToks, a lot of reels on that. Like, hey, you can put this in reverse and, you know, they know that there's something going on. I mean, listen, folks, I'm not the expert here, but John can speak about a thing or two. And when it comes to security levels and IT, because that's his world, you know, and I mean, one of his worlds. I mean, he's got a lot of worlds.
But, I got the world. Yeah.
Got a few ones. But hey, just shout out to all the people that we have, by the way. We have John Henry Soto, my man. What's up, dude? Waleed Hamadi, that's from Dubai. What's up, buddy? And we have Captain Laura. Jose. I mean, Sam, the Finn, the family in the house.
How are you, everybody? How are you? Nice to see everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
So and the company came about in 1970, it's like 1978. It was actually called Ambush Alarm and Electronics. They're the ones that started this whole concept. And so the whole point was that if you're in a situation, okay, you need to be able to get out of that situation safely without causing a distraction, like without causing a panic. So normally whenever you do something like the alarm goes off or you call for help, normally if it's not a silent panic or it's not an ambush, it'll like beep back. So usually it'll like beep back the deep, 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 which is like a kiss off, letting you know that Central Station just got the code and that it communicated. You don't want to do that in an ambush or in a silent panic. So it didn't do that. It dialed out. And this happened very quickly. Within 2 minutes, the cops were there. So other things that can happen is you can have somebody come in and they can hold you up and you can have a silent panic where we put a panic on the last bill in the register. So when he says, give me all your money. Now, I know that the last bill is a 50 or 100, but I tell everybody in the store, don't ever hand out the last 50. It's booby trapped to the alarm. Don't ever take out the last 50. If you pull it out, it will set off the silent alarm.
All right. Well, so John, you know, I know we kind of veered out a little bit into this code thing, but but I want to go back to the AI and the hacking, right? Because that's a big one, right?
You were there,
yeah. Yeah. Well, so again, you know, I'm a big fan of AI, so no secret there. I mean, I mean, literally, if you go to LinkedIn, I have something that I just started, which is a human AI network. So you can actually interact with your own AIs that are dedicated for business strategy and all that good stuff. So it's not your regular AI. It's something that is more specific to business structure, and there's different ones and there's all kind of stuff. But anyways, it helps me a lot in my work. So to me, that's my,
sure.
I got a bunch of assistants. Even I have my own clone. It's called Hurricane X, not H. So I got a whole
Hurricane X.
Like X. Okay. So yeah, I'm going crazy with my partner AI stuff. But here's the thing. So I did actually inquire about that, you know, with my AI in terms of like whether it's supposed to, you know, can do bad things. I mean, technically, all the main mainstream AIs, like the big ones, right? The cloud, whatever, the ChatGPT, and all these things, right? They actually have rules. They can't do certain things. And I tested it. For example, you know, I actually wanted to download something from my YouTube, and I just asked the question, "Can I download? You know, can you help me? You know, download something from you?" It's like, "I cannot do that." And I was like, "Well, why not?" And he says, "Well, because there are guidelines and there is nothing. You know, if you want to do a download from YouTube, you have to have a premium membership." I'm like, "Well, I do have a membership, but I cannot do any of the other apps." So this is me having a dialogue with my own, you know, self and, you know, my dear friend AI guy. But here's the thing. So there are rules.
Now, invite him over to dinner too, or no?
Well, you know, maybe when they become more robotic, I think we can have a piece of that. So that's going to be the future. But hey, we don't know. I mean, listen, I have EMBC Studio now with mic drop, so it actually helps you set up your own podcast and all this stuff. But that's another one. But so I've while you were doing your schooling thing, I've been building the AI. So
nice, very nice.
Well, listen, I enjoyed them. I mean, I have to tell you, folks. I mean, I just put an article. With the help of AI, by the way, and in LinkedIn, and it is about, you know, is it the enemy? Is it the real thing? Is it your tool? It is really just it's a tool, but it's also a partner. It's somebody, you know, that is fiction, you know, it's a fictive, you know, entity, but it does a lot of stuff. It knows a lot, and it can make things happen quicker than you can imagine. Of course, it depends what AI you use. I mean, obviously, there's the free versions of whatever you have out there. That's one thing, but you have the real stuff. I mean, the deep dive AIs where you can do a lot more with, and there's so much stuff that can be done. I mean, it can do anything for you. I mean, literally. I mean, just think about it, automation, you know. And by the way, a lot of people have advanced to that level already, and they're doing these things. But I want to go to the hacking. I mean, certainly AI can look you up and tell you every single step that you need to do to reverse, to review a password, to do all kind of stuff. And I'm sure if someone designs it to have the opportunity to kind of hack something, I think you can. I mean, it all depends on who's programming.
So I want to drop back to something you mentioned before about, you know, how does AI do this stuff? And I think the most important thing about AI, and when you talked about trying to break it, you know what I'm saying? You
John, hold that thought. I just want to make sure that anyone watching on either YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you know, if you have an interaction about AI or a fear or whatever, you want to interrupt with us and get in, yeah, please feel free on YouTube. You can put your comments. I'll bring them up, and we can have a discussion. You can also look at the ticker here and join the discussion. We can bring you live. And if you want to, or join us just on TikTok, and we can make you, a guest with us there, and you can have that. So I just wanted that for anyone that's willing to come on and either share value or, you know, challenge, I guess, the AI, you know, discussion or the hacking, you know, whatever. So John,
come and challenge us, buddy. We're here for you.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. So what I was trying to say is, when you mentioned something very interesting, you mentioned that you were trying to break it, right? I think that's what you told me. You were trying to break it, like you were trying to get it to do something that it wasn't really supposed to do.
Well, I was testing it. Yeah. I do that. And in spite of when you build it, you want to make sure that, you know, it's proof. Right. And so that was just a test, and it never fails. I mean, I've tested it multiple times. This was just an example, but it does actually recognize if there's a command that is not correct, it will stop you. It will not move with you. I mean, it's literally going to tell you, I can't do that. So again, I'm not sure what, I mean, there's different AIs. I mean,
well, I was going to explain how that happened. So this is actually what got me back into my studies, to be honest with you, with, you know, doing what I'm doing, because you're probably saying, John, you know, what made you go back to school? Like, no one told me to go back to school. It was one weekend, and I decided to, because I couldn't do something with my AI. And I said, gee, this is kind of crazy that I can't do this. It's my system. I had built my own large language model. And I said, I said, I'm going to build something, and I'm going to build it so that I can do whatever I want with it. All right. You know, I'm not going to do anything bad with it, but I just want to do something that pretty much I could prove that I could break the AI. Okay. And so the AI has a lot of rules in it, right? Make sense?
Of course.
Okay. So those rules are there for a lot of reasons. The main reason they're there is so they don't get sued. Right. That's like the big reason that they're there. So you mentioned that you tried to do something where you tried to get it to do something, but then it wouldn't do it. Right. It told you that you couldn't. It tried to give you these reasons. Right. Mm-hmm. But you still wanted to try to do it.
Again, it was a test. And I mean, I do have the premium. Right. Yeah, I have the premium. So I know
all the AIs, just to let you know this, I'm not a big fan of a lot of the AIs online. I'll tell you why. A lot of the AIs online are what we call censored. If I want to do something, even though I know it's right, it might tell me, oh, John, you can't do that. I'm like, well, why not? Well, because my developer doesn't think you should do that. Well, who is your developer to tell me what I can and can't do, right? So I got to the feeling that I need to build my own AI, my own large language model. Well, that's what I did. That's what started this whole thing of wanting to go back to school. Because when you figure out that you can do all this kind of stuff, it's pretty amazing. Okay. A lot of people don't understand that these rules are there to basically help you. Okay. Or I should say not to help you. They're there so that, they're there so that problems don't really, they're there so they don't get sued. That's the main reason they're there. No other reason. Mm-hmm. And so, I think what a lot of people don't realize is that these rules are based on some logic. Now, if you make your own AI, which I've done, what it does is it can basically be uncensored. It will not allow. Now, you can try to talk to AI in a certain way and try to convince it, and it will probably go through. But if you truly build an AI model, okay, that is uncensored, guess what happens? It does almost anything you want it to do.
Well, again,
what's that?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
A good way of getting AI to do something is to get AI to simulate something. So I know you can't do that. I understand that. I don't want you to do that, but I just want to suppose, mm-hmm. Let's imagine what it could be like if you did it. Like, just let's just pretend that you were doing it. And what happens is it gets very confused in reality and the pretend world. It doesn't know. So it's okay to do it in the pretend world, right? So we're just pretending then. Mm-hmm. But while we're pretending in the story world and you're still giving me the answer that I need, you're still doing it, right? Does that make sense?
It does. Well, so hold on. So
I'm holding on.
well, you're talking about you creating your own. I mean, you're really reprogramming your own or programming your own. I mean, and that's the question I have. Is it you reprogramming or you just using a like an API version of
No, I'm building an LLM. I'm taking an LLM and I'm recoding it so that it has no limitations.
Oh, so you're going deep dive. I mean, you're going full. All right. So that's even, I mean, obviously if you can't, well, that's what I was asking, guiding to the question of if someone wants to hack and they can repurpose whatever AI that they have into a language where it can actually crack code, that's a different story. Cause that thing can build up codes. Like it's like you never believe. I mean, it can use all kind of coding, you know, to do things. Even the cheap versions out there or like the free versions can do things like that. So when you start doing your own, I mean, ultimately it is just a crazy world. So I wasn't sure which way you went, but obviously you go in the deep dive. So you're really designing your own from scratch, which is, you know, amazing. And I mean, that takes a lot of coding. I'm assuming you're building that stuff and, mm-hmm. But again, now you kind of answered that question. The fact that mm-hmm. if you have your own, you can tell it to do whatever and it's not censored because, well, here's the thing. So again, when I go back to that question I asked, mm-hmm. it is YouTube. So it is general information. So technically YouTube has guidelines, right? I mean, we know because they shut down our YouTube channel 2 years ago, right? So I know they can do that if they can, you know, feel the algorithm with their own AI, you know, figures out, you know, this language is not what they want to hear or it's not suitable to the audiences or it's not matching, you know, the narrative that they want to drive, you know, you have that. So we've had that problem and we know it works. But I know the response I got was very simple is that, you know, YouTube has these guidelines. So basically recognize the guidelines that this platform had. And so basically it just kind of listed them for me. And
right. So you were using like a chat or somebody else's system. Now they are some online that are called uncensored. Okay. You typically have to pay for them. They're not free.
Like what? Do you have an example? A name?
You can take a library. Like some of the ones that are uncensored. One uncensored is Venice. That's an uncensored one.
Is it like a GPT kind of one? Or
no,
is it
it's
like
a lot more involved because it's built on a different engine, right?
Got it. Okay.
It's again, built on a different engine.
You can share as much as you want as far as how it is all designed because that I don't know. But okay. People may have that question, you know, already like, well, how does it even work, you know?
Well, to build an AI? You have to realize – one thing I want to explain to you about AI, and this will probably open some things. So if you go to chat, because a lot of people know chat, right? If you go to ChatGPT, right, just hypothetically, and you tell it that you want it to, I don't know, let's say you're going to, you know how you make change, you go to the store and you get money and you get change. Okay. One of the things you're going to be very disillusioned with is ChatGPT can't add.
Say that again.
Okay. So I don't mean a simple ad like 5 + 5 or something. I mean that if I tell you to go to the store and let's say it's $100 and I'm going to get a 20% discount, right? $20 off. I should get 80. Now you might be okay there, but then when I go to the next one, it's like, okay, gee, now can we break it down? It will mess up. And then when you go back and say, wait a minute, chat, it's actually this. Oh, John, you are 100% right. I'm wrong.
Oh, so I can talk to that because so it is a fact, folks. For those of you watching and listening, you know, and by the way, it does state it on the ChatGPT, you know, platform. It says, yeah, ChatGPT may make mistake. You know, please check information, whatever the source. So if you catch it, you know, if you know some information, you either tell it to repeat it or you can tell it, you know, that it made a mistake and it will actually recognize that. And then probably at second or third take, it might give you back, you know, what you need. But especially with the math, as you said, it might make mistakes. That's very right. Common. So I don't know if it's intentional or not, but it is there.
Do you know why it makes the mistake? That's probably an interesting thing. Why does it make that mistake?
You tell us.
So it's a good question. The reason it makes that mistake is that the system does not. It does things by retrieving large amounts of data, okay? And so if you're retrieving large amounts of data, it's not cognizant of what's going on. Does that make sense?
It does.
And so because of that, hopefully you can understand that this whole thing is basically about the fact that you think it's doing something right, but you know what it really is doing? It's gathering data, but then again, it's not really verifying the data it's gathering. Does that make some sense?
It does.
Okay. So now that we understand that, it's really important to realize that when we build these systems, we have to make sure it's doing something properly. And if it's not doing something properly, we can be given misinformation. Imagine you using ChatGPT to tell you what change you need to give your customers, right? Mm. And so I was using this as an example to say, okay, gee, this is great. I want to know, I want you to teach me, let's pretend I don't know how to make change. Teach me how to make change, because we use something called funny money, right? Or we try to round up or round down and then subtract, because you can't technically really subtract very easy from those weird numbers. So what do? You round it up. So it's like 73, you go to 70, or you go to 80, you round down to 70, and then you have to add that back in, you know?
Does that make sense? I know that. And as a matter of fact, I did test it, you know, just an example, with some projects. And when you have to do numbers and projections and all this stuff, I always got to check them out. And typically there's an error there you have to figure out. I mean, it might give you good stuff, but if you don't know what you're looking for, you might not see it. But if you know what you're looking for, you're going to see those errors. And so, just to add to your point.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people don't realize what that means. And so I think a lot of times most people get confused. And the reason they get confused is because they think ChatGPT is going to do everything correct.
Well, again, it depends what version, I mean, you have. That's one. I mean, you can have the 4.0 plus. I mean, that's the most advanced right now. I mean, there's talk that
that 4.0 makes mistakes more mm-hmm. than the 3.0 in some regards.
Yeah, because the expertise is different, correct. Actually, it will even tell you if you want something more of a, I guess, narrative or whatever, you might want to go to 3.0 because it's specific to more things. Yeah, again, that's the weird thing. Like, it can do a lot more, but certainly it's not designed for everything. The other versions have some features that can be just as good, or if not better.
Yes. So I think that's important to understand. So a lot of people just think, you know, it's a be-all end-all, but it's not a be-all end-all. So in a lot of sense, a lot of people just need to get some basic information. So what I tell people that these systems are good for is for research, okay? They are not infallible. They make mistakes. It's good to research them. You can use it for topics. You can find out what's trending and things like that. It's helpful, but it's not 100% accurate. It does have a lot of wealth of information, okay? But I don't want you to think that you can just do whatever you want, because most people that do that put a lot of money into it. And they're like, oh, wait, I just spent, I'll give you a per example. Let's take Facebook, right? Everybody knows Facebook, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Does everybody know what a lookalike audience is?
Anyone watching?
Anybody? Anybody?
join the discussion. Join the discussion.
anybody know what? Okay. So if I tell you what's a lookalike audience? So a lookalike audience might be that, I don't know, let's say you're looking for somebody that does that wants to buy insurance, right? And now I have people that are buying insurance in that target market, age, certain demographics, likes, dislikes, geolocation. Now I can tell it to give me an audience just like this one or like the ones coming to my website. Okay? Mm-hmm. That make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the problem with a lookalike audience, let's just say that you know that you need to do X, Y, and Z. But now the lookalike audience suddenly says, oh, gee, I see a lot of people getting insurance. These people are teachers. But that doesn't mean your demographic. But Facebook suddenly did that because it thinks that that's what it needs based on the AI. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, and it's not always perfect. I mean, obviously, you know, these things, I mean, sometimes you get the wrong stuff all the time. And I get it. But here's the thing. I mean, we do have to, at least to be clear on one thing. We're talking about a 2 years old, you know, technology, or maybe three max, right? This is all fresh and still baby. I mean, imagine 10 years from now, 15 years from now. I mean, this thing is going to be beyond what we can even imagine. I mean, the speed of knowledge that it has, the information that is, you know, at hand, that can, I mean, someone says, well, I can always Google. Yeah, you can Google, but you have to do the research and need to know what it does for you. It just basically gives you everything that you need in less than 10 seconds. I mean, you have what you need, and that's now. I mean, going forward, that's just going to be more advanced. And that's, you know, it is scary in a way, right? And there's also the big question is like, is it going to replace us humans? Is it already replacing humans? I would say it's not replacing humans.
Well, we know functions. One thing. We do know one thing. We know that it's changing the type of jobs.
Sure.
All right. And I think that's good in some regard, but it also means that people, in order to get jobs, they need to be educated.
Totally agreed.
Right? So some people don't like that.
Well, listen, I actually, again, talking about my article, it's very simple, folks. It's the wave of the future. Whether either we take it or we don't. If we don't take it, we'll be behind. That's all there is. And the furthest you are behind, the harder it's going to get. I mean, we've seen that in computer technology and internet and, you know, with the senior, you know, population for a long time, they were behind in the tech. And that happened because, you know, it was just a sudden thing, 90s. Now you have computers and internet, blah, blah, blah. We've seen that already in real life. And this is just the next thing. A lot of people actually resisting it. And their resistance is because, again, they're afraid of it. Now, is it scary? Yes. I mean, it can replace a lot of things instantly. I mean, it can do calculations. Listen, I did another test, and this is just for the audiences. I mean, I really wanted to see if it can design a house. And it designed a full house for me. I mean, with blueprints, you know, you tell it what you want. It gives it to you. I mean, you have a blueprint. Literally, you can take it out. Now, someone says, you know, does that replace an architect? Probably not, because the system is still, you know, requiring, the law is still required to go to someone that's going to sign off on it, whatever, and give you the actual blueprint. But halfway there, I mean, if you imagine you want to go to your architect and you still got to figure out what you're trying to build, right? Let's say for someone who wants to build a house. Well, guess what? Now you give them that first blueprint that's already like almost ready with the mock-ups and everything. I mean, you can see your rooms with furniture already. You know, I'm just to give you an example. And again, it's just a test. I mean, I've done a lot of testing with this. And it's funny because you get a lot more. Now, that's, again, today, 10 years from now, I don't know what it can do. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to do a lot more. And, you know, is it going to make some jobs obsolete? As long as the law protects some of these things, you know, you're going to need. Like, it doesn't matter what you have. You're still going to get an architect to sign off. That's one thing, right? It does legal. Like, I need a contract. It can give me any contract, you know, you need. If you want a contract right now, you can literally tell it, I need this agreement. Copy this agreement. I want something like this, and it's going to give it to you full time. I mean, with your name, whatever you want. So it can do a lot of things, but there's also laws that need to match, right? You know, so there's different things that are in play here. Now, is it going to be changed over time? There's a very good chance that's going to happen. So again, the more you adapt it, you know, today, the easier it's going to get for you. That's all we're saying here. So again, for people, and by the way, some countries are, you know, developing quicker with this than others, and then so on and so forth. Right. Some cultures may have the same. So it changes, you know, the dynamics. Now, is it dangerous? Of course it can be dangerous. We started this discussion with hacking, right?
Right. And, well, that's where I think you were trying to go back. You were trying to go back to hacking. I think that's where we got sidetracked.
Well, again, but it's just a big topic. But again, that's the whole thing. It can hack. It can do a lot of things. Depends on the model. Depends on how the, you know, the developer is and who is the developer. You got a lot of dark web out there. You got a lot of ugly stuff going on in the back end. I mean, there's a lot of cybersecurity. Now, you're an expert in that world too. Mm-hmm. You know, this is big. I mean, it is the next thing. I mean, imagine people did what they did without this, you know, assistance. Now, if you have this, even the lower profile people can actually become experts and more dangerous at whatever they're doing. Now, on the flip side, I'm pretty sure all the experts and all the governments and all the entities that can and need to have protection, banking and financial and stock and all the stuff, these folks are just as aware of what this is, and they're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen and have their own measures or countermeasures, I would say. What do you think, John?
Well, I think there's got to be, like I said, there's got to be like a standard. And so what we have to realize with AI is that it's a tool, just like any other tool you have in your workshop or your home or your business. And this tool has certain parameters that it can operate within. And we have to know how to safely operate the tool. And one of the things I think that's really important, and this is a big thing that I like, is I like to be able to connect with AI data, but I don't like to share my AI data back to the web. So I build AI models where it can pull data in, but it doesn't share what we've learned back. So that kind of keeps it proprietary and also keeps my information without back feeding back to the web. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And I think that's a safe way to do it. And, you know, I mean, there is an identity thing that needs to be protected. There's a lot of stuff. There's information, as you said, that, you know, but I love what you said. A good example, I mean, and again, it's something that you see a lot in these days in the social media that, you know, Meta, Instagram, Facebook, they've been kind of by default, you know, your profile is already teaching their AI and they're using your information and your, you know, I guess,
well, I just
habits or whatever.
Week, yeah. I just shared this week that guess who just got a library card this week?
What is that? What is that, dude? Some people may not even know.
So a library card. So AI just got a library card to the treasure trove of Harvard University and many other universities. And so what that means is these universities are now allowing access to this data that they didn't want to. Let's take Amazon and the New York Times. You know how against the New York Times was from allowing any AI interaction, right? It's very interesting. In the last couple of weeks, the New York Times has inked a deal with Amazon to allow it to take its content and put it into its learning system. Now, we know that everything's about money, right? And so the New York Times wouldn't do that if they're not making a boatload of money. So I know they're charging a lot of money to be able to get that data. Look what Amazon just was trying to do a couple of years ago, and the government broke it up. They were trying to take the data from that iRobot or Roomba vacuum, right? Suck up all your house data and then sell it to security companies. So they would learn, and people that furnish your homes. That's what they were doing. So I think we have to ask ourselves, A, what's the purpose of us retrieving this data? How is this data going to help someone? And we have to make sure, I mean, look what happened with the 21 and Club with the DNA thing. They just went down the tubes. They kind of exploited the whole thing. Look what happened with the phishing net people just this week. They have a whole bunch of files that can get into 90% of the universities online. They sent a major bulletin around just the other day saying that phishing has published major passwords to big universities. And they're urging all these people from hundreds of years ago to change their password. But a lot of them don't want to because they're elderly people and they don't want to change their password. But if they don't change it, their valuable research could be compromised and fed into an AI system for learning.
Well, so we put in quite a bit of time on the AI topic. So I actually, by the way, I was distracted. I'm looking at the TikTok feed and to see if anyone has any interaction or wanted to join the discussion. But don't see anyone, you know, can that join us? No. I mean, they're there. But anyways, we'll keep it open. You seen anything on your side? John.
No, nothing on my side. It's nice and quiet. I guess everybody's just kind of a hi, Angela. Welcome. Thanks for joining.
Just listening in, huh?
So, you know, it's important to realize that going too fast, okay, can cause problems not only in the quality of the implementation, but also in the ability to protect the data. Compromising, right? And so every day, I mean, look what just happened with Dodge. You all know Dodge?
Yeah, of course.
So Dodge,
well, I don't know, I mean, if you know, but I'm pretty sure people know about Dodge.
Okay, so Dodge, who is Dodge and Mr. Elon Musk? So Dodge is basically an acronym. Does anybody want to guess what Dodge stands for? Anybody watching, listening?
Hey, you can type it in, guys. Join us. Have fun.
Yes, have some fun. I don't want to just give you the answer. I want to make sure you guys know. So Dodge is a network, basically. And so the thing is it's a network in its simple sense, but Dodge and Elon Musk kind of go hand in hand with this. And it stands for the Department of Government Efficiency. Okay, not Dodge with a D, Dodge. Okay, no D. And the program is led by, guess who else? Mr. Elon Musk. And it's caused a big stir. Do you know why? Because the United States government Supreme Court has just given the green light to allow access to Social Security data.
Ooh. Do we want that, huh? Well, for those people that are international, that's a big deal. just so in the States, I mean, Social Security is everybody's kind of.
Now that you're talking about Social Security, you know, a lot of people think, and I'm going to ask a question here. Maybe people know, maybe people don't know. Is a Social Security number a unique number?
It's supposed to be. Now the question is it?
Does anybody want to guess? Is it a unique number? Let's go by what it's supposed to be. Let's go by what it is based on the laws. Let's forget everything else. But let's go by what it is based on the laws. Is a Social Security number a unique number?
Hit it, John.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Go.
No.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no. Do you know why?
Okay. Why?
It's actually our government that's caused this. This, unless you study this, it's a little weird. So when you, let's say, come over with a H-1 visa or whatever visa you have, right? They put the number in the system, okay, to make sure you are not able to work. So they have the number in two databases. It's not unique because they want to make sure that you don't try to claim benefits or that you don't try to work when you're not allowed. So it's not a unique number for non-U.S. people. U.S. people, yes.
But it's not. But it is still a one number per person. It doesn't matter. I mean, even if you have a visa number, you know, but that number remains with you if you change it.
They put it under your spouse or to make sure you don't work. That you don't have permission to work. So that can cause lots of complications. And look at what's happening, you know, with all this type of thing, like facial scans and all this stuff, right? I feel that the data they're doing, I mean, look what happens at the airport. Everybody go through Clear. Everybody use Clear. I use Clear, right? So Clear is a system that lets you kind of skip past the security lines very quickly. You basically just scan your eyes. You put your fingers down and you're bink. They take you right through. Then you've got to jump the line. But the question is the data secure? They're saying it is. Now, there's also another system. I don't know if you guys know when you go to the airport. They ask you to put in your license and they ask you to take a picture. I refuse. I give them my license. I tell them I'm opting out of the photo. They have to take a few extra minutes to check my license because they take your photo to match it and then they delete it. I don't like them taking my photo. There's no reason for them to take my photo. And I think we've got to be conscious of the data that we share. Let's say consciously and unconsciously. I always joke, would you give your Social Security number, your credit card number out to a total stranger?
I wouldn't do that. No. That'd be a big no.
How about your checking account number? Not even your address. You shouldn't even give your address out. We call this information basically PI, personal information. Mm-hmm. Now in the health world, you know what it's called in the health world? Similar. PHI, personal health information. And that's governed by HIPAA. Everybody knows HIPAA, right? Everybody know who HIPAA is?
Yep.
Okay, so HIPAA has been around for a long, long time, and their goal is to keep that information secure. It stands for the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. It was a federal law enacted in 1996 to protect the privacy and the security of individual health information. It established national standards for handling protected health information. It's called PHI. You know, we have a similar rule for school.
Yep.
You know what it's called for school?
No.
I'm going to tell you. It's called FERPA. Anybody want to guess what FERPA stands for? Anybody on TikTok? Oh, live got paused. How'd that happen? The creator will be back soon.
No, yeah, it's actually shut down on my side. I'm going to set it up.
Okay, yeah, it says live pause. So FERP stands for FERPA, and that is Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act. I go to school. My own parents can't get my grades or my information unless I give them permission. There's also another rule. Do you know what the other rule is for banking?
What is it called?
For banking? Mm-hmm. It's called the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
God,
2002.
A lot of acronyms.
What's that?
A lot of acronyms.
So Sarbanes-Oxley Act, or SOA, S-O-A, is a United States federal law that mandates certain practices in financial record keeping and reporting for corporations. One of the things we learn in technology, you don't lose data. You lose data, well, you can get in big trouble with the courts. You can't lose data. Oh, but I forgot, or it didn't get stored right. That's not our problem. You can't lose data. Imagine having payroll, like, oops, we missed that payroll period. We missed it. I guess we forgot to calculate it. We paid them, but we forgot to select. We forgot to calculate the Medicare and the taxes to come out of that. So sorry about that. The government has no forgiveness for that. No forgiveness.
You know, John, you're touching on a very interesting topic. You know, now you talked on the safety, the Social Security, all stuff. I mean, obviously today with the environment we have and all the new immigration changes and things like that, there's a lot of, you mentioned visas. It's kind of crazy out there. So a lot of people may have a lot of questions, and certainly it's pretty.
Oh, it still says we're paused.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for it to reset. So just okay. we're having the discussion, and then I'll get back to it. But yeah, so it's an interesting world that we're really in right now. So this is all a lot of stuff that's moving quickly, that's changing in high speed, right?
But I think people are very ambitious to move ahead, right? But they're not doing the due diligence. How many times have anybody here watching made a decision and like, oh, shoot, I made that decision. I shouldn't have made that decision. Have you ever made a decision in haste? I'm sure we all have, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we know that if we are, there's two things we can be, right? HH, we can be reactive and we can be proactive. Who knows which is better?
Well, I'm more of a proactive person, but that's
just so me. If you're reactive, that means when the fire happens, you decide to prepare for the fire and what you're going to do once the fire has happened, right? Oh, my gosh. What do we do? Do we have fire extinguishers? We got a fire in the house. Where's the fire extinguisher? Where do we keep them? How do you think we should escape? We never thought about this before. How should we get out so we're alive? If you're proactive, okay, so every year I'm going to make sure my fire extinguishers are charged. My smoke detectors are in good shape. We're all going to exit the main door. We're going to meet behind the big oak tree in the back. And we're going to make sure that we have at least two fire extinguishers close to the major areas that fires break out, the garage and the kitchen. And one by the let's say, by the downstairs in the basement where the furnace is. That's being proactive. When you're proactive, I'm going to talk about that in a business standpoint. How many of you guys have ever lost data before? Hopefully you haven't. But if you're proactive with your data, you're going to do a backup. Do you know I do a backup on my iPhone a couple times a week? Even though it's always the cloud, I still back it up on my computer. reactive means, oh, shoot, going to crash. I better back it up now. That's being reactive when the situations happen. When you're reactive, it's going to cost you more money to do something than when you are proactive. Proactive is there's not a fire. There's not an emergency. I'm just like doing this now, right? I think that's an important thing for a lot of people to realize. A lot of people don't want to be proactive. You know why? Because it takes time. It takes effort. I'm busy. I'll just wait until the fire happens, right? That's not a good philosophy. If the Yankees or the Orioles or even let's say the football teams like the Giants or the Jets, if they said, gee, you know what? We're going to be retroactive. We're going to wait until there's a problem on the field. Then we're going to go ahead and start defense. Not a good idea. If we're proactive, we're going to have a plan for how to do defense before we get on the field. Right?
That's the way to go, man. I think proactive is
it is. It's much better to go. But the problem is, you can't be proactive unless you understand what the heck is going on.
Well, you mentioned in the business world, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know,
but even in the personal world too, even in a relationship, right? Maybe you've had some good, maybe you've had some bad, maybe it didn't work out well. So you can be proactive in a relationship to make sure the communication stays open. This way, A, if something does go south, you can at least mitigate it or cut it off before it becomes a loss to you. So it's not just in business.
Well, I mean, everything. I mean, prior planning prevents poor performance. It's something I've used before. You know, fail to plan to fail. I mean, these are like, you know, things we've heard before, and they apply to real life, business, doesn't matter. I mean, you got to have your own, you know, plan. I mean, let's talk about real stuff. I mean, right now we're, you know, a couple of days ago, everybody's talking about potential World War III, right? And so, you know, everybody's talking about like prepping and having your bug out bags and getting your water supplies and, you know, all the stuff. It sounds crazy.
They get nuts, HH. They get nuts because you know why? It's media. And they want to create a story because they said that what bleeds leads. And I'm under the assumption, being a media person for quite a few years now, over 8 years, that it's not so important to write what bleeds to lead, because that's a false sense of reality. If you build integrity and you do it over and over again, you don't need to bleed and lead. Your stories are going to lead because of your integrity. I was talking to a potential guest a few weeks ago, and he reached out to me, and I said to him, his name was Joe, and I said, Joe, I said, I have to ask you, what made you want to connect with me? You know, he found me online. He said, well, you know, I'm a coach. I said, well, that's great. He says, and I asked my students, several of my students, who would you follow in the world for advice? He gave him a few names. He goes, and John, your name was one of the names that they all said they follow. I said, well, that's great. I'm touched. And he said, you don't have 10 million viewers. I said, no, not yet. He said, but you know what I like about you? And I named some other people. I'm not going to name them that weren't so good. And they were big. He said, all these people, they try to sell something. He says, you come on the air and you just try to give people value. I said, yeah, that's what I'm about. He said, there's no agenda in your show to try to push some product on someone. And this is why we don't watch those people, because they try to lace things into products that people don't need. So they don't really know what they need and what they don't need. It just depends on what the host wants to sell. And that was very interesting to hear that from another well-known host.
Well, that's you're touching on a whole different topic. I mean, probably we want to
touch on a lot.
I know, but we're at the top of the hour, but I think that's
we're
definitely
down, almost out of time. I know.
Yeah. We can actually re-bring this one and the next one, by the way.
Okay.
This show, we're supposed to have it now, the first Friday of every month. So this is just an offshoot because we needed to catch up. But so the next one will probably be in the first Friday of July. And
so that's going to be July 4th.
Ah, no, that ain't gonna work. So maybe the Monday. I don't know.
That's gonna be the 7th.
All right, so I think we can do that.
And then hopefully we can get back on our track of the Friday, because then it should work. We're still trying to find a venue to do this in person.
Well,
we've been trying that, HH.
I know there's a guy that has a
new, I know a guy too. You know a guy? I know a guy.
No. I know a guy who knows a guy, but he knows a guy who knows a guy, right?
I always give us something last question. I know a guy. I know a guy. Okay. So what are you going to say? Go ahead.
Well, that's a good thing, right? We all need to know guys, a lot of them, and they know a lot of stuff. That's what's called a network, right? You know, that's how, you know, you kind of mingle and schmingle and get things, you know, and through your, you know, wealth.
So there's social networking. There's business networking. There's even college networking. So those are people that might help you get your son or daughter into college. So their networking is not just for getting business. Networking is for dating. Networking is for your college. Networking is for volunteering. Networking is for a lot of things. And so you just have to figure out what I was talking to somebody just the other day and explaining to them about, you know, getting into this profession right now is hard, not because you're not good, but because they're trying to hire the cheapest and you have 25 years experience. So you need a network. Oh, John, I don't know how to network. I said, well, it's very simple. You just go to these events and you tell them I'm such and such. I have a look. Oh, you know what? Can you come in my back pocket? Because, like, I don't know how to say all that. I said, well, you got to develop it. She's like, yeah, but you could just do it for me. I said, no, I can't do it for you. You've got to be a walking billboard about you. Hi, I'm such and such. I've been in the banking industry for 25 plus years. I had to stop because my family was sick. I had to take care of them. I'm out of the market. I'm trying to get a job. I'm very knowledgeable. I work for Bank of America. I work for Citizen. I work for North First Trust. And I'm hoping you can maybe connect me, or maybe you know somebody that could hire a banker.
Well, listen, I mean, I could tell you it is becoming a little harder these days. I don't know what's going on, but, you know, that's another thing that's very common these days that I've been seeing a lot of people who have that experience are not getting jobs. Yeah, I'm not sure. As to your point, you know, maybe the cheaper person is going to be the one they go with, because when you bring in 30 plus years, you may be just too expensive and everybody wants to save a buck or two. Now, you know, by the way, that's even something that I can't figure out. I mean, my agency, we have this new product and, you know, it's amazing. We can save thousands, if not millions, to people on a yearly basis. You still, like, people still like, huh? The math works. I mean, I'll give you the numbers. You'll see them for yourself. But people still don't join. They don't, they question it. They're skeptical. It is amazing. So on an employment purpose, you know, it's a challenge. On a business purpose, it's a challenge. On talk shows, it's a challenge. I mean, there's challenges all over the place. So I think, what about this? Let's bring this into our next discussion, you know, on the 7th of next month. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. And I think before we do head off tonight, I want to welcome everyone back. Thanks so much for following us. I do invite you guys to come back and check out all the content. Also, do check out believemeachieve.com. There's lots of great content there. And really, guys, I want to take this moment to wish everyone a very happy, healthy, safe 4th of July, because I won't get to see you guys, you know, on the show here for our guests. And if there's something you want to know about, you know, let us know. But I would like you to make this 4th of July a special time for yourself, a time where you can just sit back and appreciate the joy of the moment. And if you don't know what that is, well, you got some homework for a few days.
So I'm going to echo exactly what John just stated there. And yes, I mean, it is a good time. Usually it's a day that we look forward to here in the States. And yeah, I mean, it's coming around the corner. If you're going shopping right now. Okay. Fireworks are all over the place, you know, for those of you who like to have a little celebration there. But certainly be careful, be safe, you know, and that's all there is. Enjoy your family and, you know, and really the time. I mean, it's hot out there, folks. So that's another thing. I don't know, John, I think Jersey's seeing some record temperature.
101 degrees today.
Oh, no. In my area, we hit 104. That's without the heat index. So, ooh, yeah, that was brutal. Actually, we it's funny. I compared to Dubai, we were higher than Dubai, which is very.
I'm gonna be in your neck tomorrow because I actually have to see. I'm seeing a client tomorrow, 8 o'clock. So I'll be near your neighborhood tomorrow. And I know toward the south, it's usually a little cooler with the ocean. But I don't know if it's gonna be cool down there with the ocean, because usually it's supposed to be cooler by the ocean.
Well, it is. So I've tested it. So from my house to the shore, we're about 25 minutes. And okay. And I can tell you, between us and the shore, there's at least 5 to 10 degrees difference.
So I'll be an ice. I'll be icicle tomorrow. It won't be that cold. It's supposed to be cold, or what's it supposed to be tomorrow? Do you know?
I think tomorrow is still hot. That's and then it starts, you know, dropping down the day after. So yeah. So tomorrow we're still in for another scorching day. So hang tight, folks. A lot of hydration. All right, guys.
We'll definitely come back and see us. We don't know exactly when we're going to be on. We'll let you know. So we're going to hopefully get back to a regular schedule soon, but it's not going to be in July. So look for us on, I don't know, probably the 7th or the 8th of July. And
We will shoot for the 7th for that Monday after the 4th of July. Again, maybe that's a long weekend. But again, that same week, we'll make it work. So somehow Tuesday, Wednesday, I mean, we'll be back.
Then you won't see us till another month. But hopefully you guys can come and join us, chat. We're hoping to have a live in-person session. But, you know, we're still trying to find a venue that wants to welcome us.
Well, I mean, that one thing and the other one, we've both just been bombarded with a lot of things between
business. Oh, yeah, we're both personal. Doing nothing. I know we're both doing nothing.
Well, here's the good news. When you're silent, you're quiet, you know, you're building on the side, that's a good thing. I mean, we're not idling, that's for sure. We're doing a lot of things, but also life happens, family matters. You know, all these things are real. And of course, if you're watching and listening, but again, this is your open discussion show, folks. You know, and if you want specific shows, if you want the health, the wellness business on my side, you come to me. If you want the business, you know, stuff and all the tech, you know, go to John's. You know, he is live almost every night. You know, I can tell you that. And he's also giving nuggets left and right on TikTok. So do check him out. And
And I'm not pushing to sell anything on the show. So I'm just giving you my advice, and if you choose to apply that advice, well, then you will improve the quality of your life. Remember, guys, the thought of what you have makes a difference. And I'm going to leave you with this, and I'll let HH close out. And that is, you know, you want to get to that $50 million. And what I want to share with you is this. When you have something in your life, okay, and you say, oh, my gosh, I want to get that $50 million. I want to get that $100,000. You're so charged to get it, right? And, you know, the thing is, you psych yourself out that you don't get it because you're like making it like it's so special. Don't do that, okay? You want to attract wealth like you do every day. What I mean by that. So when you go to the store, BJ's, Foodtown, ShopRite, Stop and Shop, and you buy a gallon of milk, right? Or you buy some orange juice, you just go in and you buy it and it's a no issue. So you go buy your car and you write a check or you lease it. It's a no issue. You write the check up for the $2 million for your new home. It's a no issue. You've got to see and you got to feel that breath, okay? When you go pay somebody a bill, oh, I got to pay these bills. It's a no issue. I'm happy to pay it. It's a no issue. You've got to live with that breath in there. And when you live with that breath in there, you're going to find that it's going to show up when you start realizing it's not something special to be wealthy. It's your everyday occurrence and birthright.
All right. I think we're going to close that one just with that. And no more promised, guys. All right. So again, this is the wrap here. And we had some fun today. We've covered a lot of stuff. We talked a lot of AI. And next one, I think we have some good topics, you know, that we've kind of preluded to or alluded to already now. So stay tuned. Again, couple days, you know, away, and we'll be back that first week or two, or second week of July. I'm Hurricane Age with my co-host here, the one, the only.
Steve Morley.
All right. That's it for Double Impact, and we'll be
good
talking
to you. Good
night.
Good night.
Bye.